As we reflected on the other day, the Holy Feast of the Holy Family, this is an extension of it, really. When you think of celebrating Mary as Mother of God, what we're doing is seeing that with the birth of Christ, something new is happening in our world, and it's simply a new opportunity for us. Creation began, as you know, from Genesis, and with Adam and Eve's fall, all of us were destined to eternal damnation until God, in His great goodness, gave us the gift of His only begotten Son. But it's just not simply about making something happen, practically speaking. God wants us to experience the fullness of life, and part of the fullness of life is family life. And like we talked about with the Feast of the Holy Family, although you and I desire our biological families to become holy, the fact of the matter is there's free will involved. And free will is a powerful thing. And we all have probably family members who have abandoned the faith or turned away from God, and that weighs heavy upon our hearts and minds. What we realize, though, from this feast is that just as God created Adam and Eve in the natural order, so now we are experiencing an opportunity in the supernatural order, the order of grace. So we had a man who did not follow God's lead, God's will, Adam, and then we have a man now who did faithfully follow unto death the Father's will. We had a woman who did not follow God's will, and now we have a woman who followed God's will. And so no longer are we hemmed in by simple biological bonds, genetic, constructs. Now we are bound together by intention, which is greater than the biological. Just think of, your Christmas. You were looking at people and you're thinking, how on earth did I get put with these people? You have no choice. And that's, again, the arena to grow in holiness. Because you don't have a choice, there's no getting out. So the best thing you can do is make the best of it by practicing family virtues and charity, if we recall from the Feast of the Holy Family. But God has established something new. If you remember that one day when the crowd was crying out in praise of Him, and finally someone from the crowd said, hey, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And what they were saying is your family must be very proud of you for the accomplishments and what you're doing, your biological family. And Jesus made it clear that the family He is now part of is not a biological family. Although I'm sure He probably thought Mary's very proud of Him, She would strut up and down the street saying, my son is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. If you don't like me, you're going to hell. I mean, this is normal protocol for Mary. We all know that. No, He is calling out a new order of grace. One, a family where we actually want to be part of. And we're exercising our free will. Unlike the natural order where we don't have a choice. A natural family is a great thing and it's a great gift. That's not what we're saying. But in the order of grace now, something is higher. And that is intention. Meaning you and I, sorry to tell you this, are closer in the family than our biological families are. Because we're united in Christ by choice, not simply by birth. Who here chose to be born? We didn't choose it. It happened. But in the order of grace, we've chosen to wake up on New Year's Day. Some of you probably not feeling so well. Others of us have just started dancing and we're ready to go the rest of the day. But you're here because you chose to be here. And that's a world of difference compared to being forced or having to do it simply because we're born into it. And that's what we're celebrating today. I know those readings really sound strange, for the feast of Mary, Mother of God. Some of you will recall that this feast a long time ago was the Feast of the Circumcision. Now that might make more sense because that was the gospel passage. And certainly the name is important in that first reading. We kept hearing about the name of God blessing us and protecting us. And when you think about what happens in a circumcision, which is much like what happens for us, again, the order of grace. So the circumcision was the first order of the Old Testament, but now Jesus calls us to a circumcision of the heart, because again, it's no longer simply of the flesh, of the skin. Now it's of a choice of a heart. My heart has to be circumcised, purified, and transformed. So you think of the circumcision, it's at the circumcision that the child is named. And we know from Genesis that naming a child shows authority over that child. You know, when you have a baby, the doctor and the nurse don't say, well, I think we're going to name him Troy. I think in my case, they probably did. My mom never would have picked this name for me. I'm confident she loved me. The parents are the ones who pick the name, just like Adam and Eve were given the gift of naming animals, showing their authority over the earth. So too in circumcision, when mom and dad say, this is the name, then that's it. Just like in baptism, most of us probably don't realize this, but you know, when the priest, again, order of grace, so mom and dad did their part of bringing the child into this world, and now the priest does his part in bringing the child, hopefully, into the kingdom of heaven by virtue of baptism. But when I name the child in baptism, that's the name. So although we could begin at the door, and I have to say, I was really tempted with the Walshes last Sunday, because I told them that that child was going to be a boy, and they insisted it's going to be a girl. And I said, if it's a boy, you name it Troy. They didn't name it Troy. I was this close Sunday to saying, I baptize you Troy in the name of the Father. And that would have stuck. The church's teaching is that would have stuck. In the baptismal certificate, that would have been the name written, regardless what the parents said. Because now we're talking about the supernatural order and the authority over which we're given, which is why that first reading, the name of God, is so it speaks volumes to us. And so too with this Mary, the mother of God. We're not talking about her giving birth to divinity. She's giving birth to Jesus' humanity. And the early church, Theotokos, mother of God, was the title that brought Christians together. Sadly, today, you look at it and it divides Christians. They want no part of the Mother of God. But it was at Ephesus, the Council of Ephesus, because of, much like in our world today, the controversies within the church are strong and alive and well, just as they were in the beginning. And so in the beginning, the Council of Ephesus, some said, no, Jesus is just, you know, a human. And Arian denied the divinity. And the council fathers at Ephesus said, no, she is the mother of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is God. Therefore, she is the mother of God. You can't just be part of a mother or the mother only of his this or that. We're not dividing Jesus here. He is one. And it's a hypostatic union, which is an incredible mystery. And we admit it. We do not understand it other than God in his great goodness takes on our condition. And because of that, you and I now have access to eternal bliss, which we did not have prior to his gift of himself. So today, in celebrating the feast of Mary, Mother of God, we're not just celebrating Mary. We are, but we're not. It's more than that. We're celebrating family, our family. Order of nature was the feast of the Holy Family. This is the order of grace. Mary is now our mother, our spiritual mother, which is a great gift to us to think that we're part of this family now. It doesn't take away from the other family. We still have to deal with our moms. Kindly, please, right? Right, Mom? She's elbowing her daughters. Listen to him. So let's thank the Lord for this gift of being called into the family of God and having Mary as our mother. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to more intentionally enter into this order of grace.